All right, so we are in our Corinthians study. We are dealing with chapters 8 through 10, which have to do with meat offered to idols. So the review, first part of Corinthians, Paul is dealing with the things that were reported to him, issues that he felt needed to be dealt with. A quarter of the book, four chapters, deals with the divisions in the church, and then he dealt with three other issues: lack of discipline in the church, some quite serious. Then they also had sent a letter to Paul, and he was dealing with questions that they asked him. The first one is about questions about marriage. We dealt with that. Now it's the questions about things sacrificed to idols. We're basically arguing with Paul, as the impression we get from our study of these chapters. So the things that we noted as keys to understanding, I just want to review this so that you have this in your mind as we talk about it. So things sacrificed to idols in our text. The word it's a unique word. Paul may have coined it himself, but it is idol sacrifices is what it means. Now we want to keep that in mind because he's going to use a different word in part of the text today that we're going to look at, and it's significant. All right, now here's the key verse, 1 Corinthians 8:10. For if someone sees you have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? Now, as we've seen, there were believers in Corinth who were arguing with Paul. We know that Paul had already received the commandment from the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 before he went to Corinth and even started the church there. So it's beyond question that he would have taught these things to the people of Corinth. But some of them are arguing, say, well, Paul, we've learned that idols are nothing. They are not really gods. And it's the place to do business, which is true. That's where the restaurants were mostly in the Greek cities, was at the idol temple. It's a place to do business. It's a place to meet people. We're not worshiping the idol. We're just having a meal. What's the big deal? That's basically what the argument is. But he's saying, so this focuses. It's not simply eating meat. It's going to the idol temple and consuming the things sacrificed to idols. That's the issue. Here's Ben Witherington's definition: an animal sacrificed in the presence of an idol and eaten in the temple precincts. That was the big issue that he was dealing with here. Now, my outline for the passage again: the weakness of the brother, chapter 8, the worth of the gospel, chapter 9, the wickedness of the heart, chapter 10. Now, I had given you questions last week, but we're just going to give the answers. I have a fourth question for today. What is the conclusion of the weakness of the brother teaching in chapter 8 with respect to the question about consuming things sacrificed to idols? For the sake of weaker brothers, don't do it. Don't harm them. Okay, so we don't partake. Then, what is the application of the worth of the gospel teaching with respect to the question about consuming things sacrificed to idols? That's chapter 9. Considering the worth of the gospel, don't compromise it. So don't eat this, don't go to the idol temple, don't eat this food. Alright, and then why do I say application instead of conclusion when we are talking about the worth of the gospel? Because in 1 Corinthians 9, there is no direct teaching about the subject. The word isn't mentioned. He mentions it in chapter 8, then he picks it up again in chapter 10. And then, and I had this statement, this whole chapter 9, is an explanation of the last verse of the preceding chapter. Chapter 8 ends, therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so I will not cause my brother to stumble. And then he starts talking about his rights. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Don't I have, so basically the idea is, look, there's There's things that I could do, I could demand as an apostle that I don't do. Why? For the sake of the gospel. So then we apply that to the food offered to idols teaching. So the whole chapter is an explanation of the last verse of the preceding chapter. More generally, it clarifies the importance of limiting our legitimate liberty as Christians for higher goals, namely the glory of God and the welfare of other people. Then, here's the last question, and this one I'll ask you to... This is from last week. What is the final reason for not partaking of things sacrificed to idols according to chapter 10, verses 1 through 22? So what were we talking about last week, and what was the reason that he's saying, don't eat this meat offered to idols in the idol temple? Why is it, what is the reason? Because you could fall. You want to add? Well, that's chapter 8. Okay, chapter 10 is because you could fall. Look at my outline. Weakness of the brother, chapter 8. Worth of the gospel, chapter 9. Wickedness of the heart. Because, Rob? You could fall. And there is the fact that in consuming something in a religious context, you are in a spiritual relationship with the spirit behind that. So, those things offered to idols, yes, the idols are nothing, but there are demons behind that. So just as when we have communion, we're in a spiritual relationship with Jesus, so too, when we, when someone were to eat meat offered to an idol, there is a demon behind that. They're in communion with a demon. He says, "I don't want you to be in communion with demons." So his answer is a flat no. Flat no. Now, okay. So let's. Let me see here. I'm going to read this next section. We already read it once today, but I'm going to read it again, and then we'll start getting into the rest of the questions for our study. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, "This is meat sacrificed to idols," do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I gave thanks? All right. So let's start with this. Now, first of all, we have verses 23 and 24. They are general principles. Okay? So all things are lawful, not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. So what part of the previous arguments do these general principles point to? Debbie? The other's focus. So the care for the weaker brother. So he's saying, look, there are things you can do, but remember, everything you can do doesn't edify. Okay, there are things that you could do, but if you do them, it's going to cause somebody who has a weaker conscience, a more sensitive conscience, it could cause them to sin. Could cause them to fall into sin. Yes, Debbie? Yeah, not all things edify me. Like, there are things that you could do that don't... let me pull this out, this thing. I don't know if that does it or not. We could be just the thing. All right? There are things you could do that they're not going to really build you up spiritually. Okay? So it could apply to you directly. Yes, Tola? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yes. That's right. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. So she's talking about the situation. You've got a leader. You know, he's mature in the faith. He's does something that, you know, is questionable. Then the person, another believer say, oh, well, it's okay to do then. And then he goes on. Now, it isn't specifically talking, when we're talking about weaker and stronger, it's not specifically talking about maturity, but this principle is one that we teach in terms of parenting. So, what you do as a parent, your kids are going to watch you, and they may or may not embrace all the things you believe. And if you, it doesn't mean that we have to, like, I don't want to say that, okay, you have to live a totally, you know, like an Amish life. That's sort of the extreme. You know, be so far away from the world. That's not the point. The thing is that you have to be very careful about those things you allow, because those who are less mature are your kids. Say, well, you know, Dad, you did this. Okay, Debbie?
I heard once the little thing, and I tried what I allow in moderation, those who follow me will excuse in excess.
Okay, what I allow in moderation, those who follow will excuse in excess. So that's part of this principle. Doesn't mean it's a statement of wisdom. It's not a statement of absolute. Okay, so maybe I followed something in allowed something in moderation, and whatever, for whatever reason, the grace of God, my kids have not picked up on that, right? But there is a risk. So when we say, okay, well, we don't have to be so strict here. All right, when you say that, somebody following you there's a danger that they would go further. So this is one of the reasons we have to think seriously about the decisions we make about things in life. All right, so that's those first two questions. Now what, before we get into the text, we've had this teaching, weaker brother, worth of the gospel, wickedness of the heart. Okay, so I might fall, the gospel is so important, and the weaker brother could be led into sin. Those are the three teachings. So what objections might rise? So these people are arguing with Paul. What might they say? Well, what about? So what are the what abouts? What are a couple of natural what abouts that we're going to see dealt with in our text here?
My Christian liberty? Like, what about
my... Is that well, not what about my Christian liberty. Specific things. He's going to deal with some specific things here. Yes, Carrie.
If all of what's on earth was created by God, why not partake in all these?
Right, okay. Well, that's the principle that he quotes, but he's talking about meat sold in the marketplace. Because we know there's idol meat there. So what do you mean? You mean saying we can't eat any of that? That's the first one. What's the other one?
Okay, the first one.
We'll come back to this.
Oh, okay. Okay,
I'll repeat them.
I like to fill in my blank.
You want to fill in your blank, okay. Okay, what's the second one? A second scenario. In our text. You can look up on the screen. You can look. Okay, so there's the meat market, and then there's...
In the temple?
Pardon me?
In the temple?
No, not in the temple.
If you're at someone's house.
If you're at someone's house. They invite you over. Okay, so Paul, you're saying, look, you know, like this friend of mine, he's not a believer. I'm trying to win him, but... Well, he invites me over, and I'm sure he's bought meat that's idol meat. Okay, so is that okay? All right, so let's deal with those. So here's the two. What about idol meat we know is in the marketplace? So what about marketplace meat? Number one. Number two, what about visiting somebody else's house? And they served me something, and I'm not 100% sure it's not idol meat, right? Okay, so the first one is verse 25 and 26. Look what he says. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Okay, so let's what is the answer to the first objection? Verse 25 and 26.
If you don't know, it's fine.
If you don't know, it's fine. Don't ask, don't tell. Okay. Okay, but here's the thing. Because why? Because the term a doulothuton, idol sacrifices, has to do with the actual eating in the temple. But if there's meat in the marketplace, yeah, you know, some of it came from the idol temple. Okay? You know that. But it's just meat. See? The meat isn't tainted. It's the connection with the idol temple that's the problem. Does that make sense? So if it's not in the idol temple, it's not a problem. But he says, don't ask questions. Why? Because as soon as you know it's idol sacrificed meat, then, okay, because somebody can say, oh, you're eating idol meat. Oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was idol meat. That's the response. I better throw it out then. Cost me a lot. Throw it out, right?
How about if it's too cheap?
But if it's too cheap, oh, well, then throw it out. It doesn't matter. It was cheaper than the other. Oh, I thought I had a real good deal, but I should have known. Okay? All right. So, yeah, that's a good point. All right. Now, verse 28, there's a new term. Let's see. All right. So, I'll just read. So, no, if anyone says to you, the scenario is verse 27. Somebody's invited me to his house. And notice the same principle again. Eat anything that is set before you without asking questions. Okay? So, same principle as verse 25. But in verse 28, if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols. Now, I put this in your notes. I gave you the Greek thing. It's a different term. It's hierothutos. That means sacrificial meat. It's a synonym with this distinction. It is just meat. It has nothing to do with where it is consumed. Okay? So this is the normal term. If somebody were to say, yeah, you can go down to the marketplace and you can buy hierothutos or hierothuton. You can buy that down there at the market. That's the normal term they would use. But it's not eating it at the idol temple. That's the distinction Paul is making. So you don't put yourself in a compromising situation. But as soon as somebody says, this meat was sacrificed to an idol, then he says, what is the answer to the second objection? Okay, so first of all, if nobody says anything, it's fine. If somebody identifies it as idol food, then don't eat it. Right? So if you don't know it's idol food, and nobody said it was, then don't eat it. Okay, go ahead. Now tell me.
How about if someone you know that in their household, or rather in maybe the idol worshippers?
Yeah.
And they are also meat sellers?
Yes.
Even though those meats are not really emanated from idols, but you know these people are idol worshippers?
Yes.
And they sell meat, or they sell chicken, they sell...
Yes, yeah.
Will you be able to buy from them?
If they don't label... Well, this is something you'd have to work through. Because you're describing your home country, right?
Yes.
So, but if it's not labeled, idol meat. Okay. It's just meat. Okay. That's what Paul's saying. Right? Tola?
Like, is this from home country? That this scenario of the neighbor?
Yeah.
They are Muslims?
Yes.
And during their salad, they do sacrifice ram?
Yes.
For that, they pray on meat and the healing?
Yes.
And as my neighbor that we are so close?
Yeah, they offer you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They now bring that meat to me?
Yes. Okay, so.
Situation, what can I do?
Yes, because that's the question. And I don't see, this is a real life situation. Just hang on, Leah, I'll get to you. Okay, so what she's saying is during Ramadan?
Yeah.
Okay. So in Ramadan, they've sacrificed a ram or a sheep or whatever to Allah, I guess. And they have, and so then in generosity, they're sharing it with, and you, so now that is, you know what that is. And so I think what Paul is saying is, well, I'm sorry. You know, I'm a Christian, so I'm glad, I thank you for your generosity, but I can't partake. And they may hate you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to let Lee ask his question, and then Foley, I'll let you.
I think that was my question about, like, who are you going to offend? Like, if you're eating at someone's house and you have this understanding, you may offend your host, but by eating it, you don't otherwise offend them.
Oh, no, no, it's not that. We're going to come to that point. Hang on to that point. That's not what it is. All right, Foley, that's a good question. Foley.
Yeah, I want to buttress what she just mentioned. Imagine a situation where you are trying to bring people to Christ. And,
yes.
Maybe they are Muslims and they are starting a relationship trying to.
Yes.
Like, they offer me meat, and I know that the heart is the Lord's and everything is certified.
Yes. Yeah, it's all clean.
Because if I reject that meat, I'm going to close all the opportunities to talk to them, to bring them to Christ.
Right.
So if I take that meat and I eat it, and it gives me more room to be able to talk to them, I know that I'm not eating sacrificial meat, I pray on it and I consume it.
Yeah.
It gives me more room to be able to talk to
them. I understand that. Yeah. So what you're saying is you cut them off, you will not have an opportunity to witness to them.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a very good question. Now, here's the thing. We're trying to piece through what Paul is saying. So, do they invite people into their homes to eat, or do they just bring it over?
Sometimes they
don't distribute it. I see, okay. Now, I think the scenario is if they say, well, by the way, this is sacrificial meat. If they say that, Paul is saying, then you have to say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, so I can't participate in that. Now, if they don't say anything about it, you know it's probably sacrificial meat, but it is just meat. I think that's what he's saying. All right.
But in the this real life situation,
yes.
At the back of my flat, I mean, you don't even know what this person is doing, whether it's a bad day or something.
Yeah.
This one is not the time of their worship.
Yes.
Now, they just brought in black ram.
Yeah.
And sacrificed and come at the back of my flat.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when they were now bringing it, the person who is white attire and was...
Oh, yeah. So you know for sure. You know for sure. Well, see, that's what I think. I think for the Christian, when you know, you just say, look, I'm a Christian. I love you, but I just can't. And I don't know. I hope the people will understand that. But if they're going to get offended, they're going to get offended.
They got offended then.
Yeah.
They got rejected.
Yeah.
They got offended. It created a
big
gap.
Yeah. It's hard. These are for us here, I can be very, like, it's very theoretical for me, right? I've never had anybody offer me sacrificial meat that I know of. I mean, never. So, no big deal. I can say, look, this is what you should do. But you have to live that in Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Tola.
I believe the word of God is the word of God.
Whether
somebody is angry or is not happy, one should keep the word of God.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Even by keeping the word of God, you don't even know what God is how God is trying to save you from the snare. Because
that's right.
It's easy to ensnare you.
That's right.
Into their kingdom.
Yes.
But once you stand on the word of God, there is nothing anybody can do.
Amen.
Now, the scenario my husband was talking, he was angry when I rejected it.
Yeah.
I told him, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I cannot do it.
Yes.
It's against my faith.
Yes.
But my husband was saying, I would have collected it and thrown it.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, no.
No.
I won't take it so that next time, they will not bring it to me.
Ah, I see. And that is, see, this is, but that is the thing that you lived it, right? Okay, Lee.
Well, sort of two things. In the example I was just given, like, you don't have to necessarily say it with words. Like, it's evident, it's clear that that's...
Yeah. Yeah, when you know, I guess basically the principle that we're learning here is when you know, oops, I'm hit this, it's the connector here. Oh dear. It might come back. Okay, well, there we go. Okay, now just don't touch anything. Okay. Yes.
I still have the question about the events and stuff like that, but also there is something to say about obedience as well.
Yes.
Even though it may offend, like you don't know how God's going to use that situation. Like it's better to.
Yeah, we have to trust God. We have to trust God's word. Okay, God says don't do it. Okay, when we know about it, don't do it. So then we have to trust that God will work it out. If that person is going to respond in faith, then they are going to have to, that is a stumbling block they're going to have to overcome. All right?
Because a lot of people will initially, well, not just this situation, but respond as being offended, but that also may trigger other responses further on down.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, why did they do this? You know, ask more questions. And it
may
open some other doors that you didn't even imagine.
That's right. It could open doors eventually. All right. Rob.
I wonder if some of the principle of Paul's teaching is that, that by eating the food, the person would suggest that we might get the impression that you're honoring their false god as well. I don't think that's the system.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I could see, you know,
they could also be expecting, if they bring it up to you, they know that you're a Christian.
Yeah.
Right? So they know, they're going to see what, trying to see what you want to do.
Yeah. There's a separation.
Yeah, they know there's a distinction. And so if you go against it, now this, let me see here. Okay, so let's go to the next question, which is verse 28b and 29a. Well, basically, okay, if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you. Now look at this. And for conscience sake. Then look at what he says. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. Okay, for why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? Okay, so what is the reason here for this answer? That you don't eat it. As soon as you know, you don't eat it. Why? What's the reason?
The other person's conscience.
It's the other person's conscience. And he has a conscience. He could be right or wrong. Like we look at this meat, it's just meat. Paul's principle, it's just meat. In terms of, if you were to go to the marketplace and you think, well, some of that meat is offered to the idols probably. But it's just meat. It's not labeled. So I can buy it. And I can eat it whether it's offered to idols or not because all foods are clean. You know, there's nothing holy or unholy about food. Okay, but as soon as somebody informs me, he is informing me from his conscience. His conscience is saying that Christian probably doesn't know that that is offered to idols. And I think he will not want to eat it. Now, if you go ahead and eat it then, you are offending his conscience for you. Do you follow? So he is expecting, that guy isn't going to want to eat that meat because of his religion. So I better tell him. Let's put the best scenario. He could be malicious too. He could be just trying to test you and see what you're going to do. But suppose he likes you, okay? And he says, look, just want you to know that we did sacrifice this to an idol or to whatever god or whatever. If you take part of that meat, he's saying, oh, I wonder how serious of a Christian he is. You see? And that's where the question goes.
But even if it was out of ignorance, you've now informed that person.
Right. Yeah. Right. So now you've informed him. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I have a long quote here in the notes, so you might want to follow in the notes. I don't have it on the screen. We might think that in such a situation, Paul would have advocated exercising Christian liberty and eating the meat, but he did not. He advocated abstaining, not because such meat was out of bounds for believers. It was not out of bounds. Normally, Christians could eat such meat. He advocated abstaining for the sake of the pagan's moral consciousness. Specifically, if the Christian ate the meat, the Christian might conclude that his guest was doing something Christians should not do. He would be wrong, of course, yet Paul advocated not violating the pagan's understanding of what Christians should or should not do, rather than have the Christian instruct the pagan about Christian freedom at the table. It's not for you to say, well, look, there's nothing holy about this meat. It's okay for me to eat the meat. He says, don't violate his conscience. Right, Rob?
I just realized we're at, like, with Tola and Augustine, we're talking about real life events.
Yeah.
But also, actually, this is real life events with Paul. This was going
on. That was going on right there in Corinth. I mean, the experience that you talk about, the Apostle Paul had that same experience. So did the Corinthians.
Yeah, so it's a real life event.
It's real life for them. And it's a very important question. Okay? And I think in the West, because we have been in Christendom, okay, in like European countries, even in South America, that most of the people, I mean, there are people back in the hills that are animists and that, but in the most of the Christian quote unquote world, they aren't sacrificing meat to idols. There are other things that are similar that we have to deal with. Okay, so, you know, Catholics who are, you know, offering, you know, I don't know if they offer actual foodstuffs, but there are things that happen. You say, can I take part in that activity? Okay, Tola?
Then at the end of it, the woman later came back after a very long that I was once a Christian like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came back. And I told her, why did you go back? She said, well, some situations of life. That what they were doing that time, the husband wanted to lose his job in his office. They now asked them to sacrifice to idol so that it can be averted. I said, well, thank God I didn't do it.
Yeah, very interesting. That's quite a story. Okay, so the wife of this man had been a Christian, professed to be a Christian. And so Tola asked her, why did she go back into the paganism or into the Muslim? And it's because her husband, the lady's husband, wanted to get an advancement at work or something? Not lose his job. Okay, not lose his job. So that was what the sacrifice was for. So she would be to be participating in that. That's what you're involved with. All right, Lee, go ahead.
I'm not trying to lessen that situation, but that's true for a lot of other cults and other things, like Mormonism, for example.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you step away from that, you're not just stepping away from that false religion, but you're excluded completely from.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so you step away from false religion. If you were raised in it, the earned social network is, that's why the church is so important. Like a body like this. You know, we come together, we love one another, we support one another. Because, you know, the wider world, they are not going to support us in our spiritual beliefs. They're going to try to tear it down. So we come here, we hear the Word of God, we immerse ourselves in what the Bible says. Try to live by the Bible, and we can be encouraged here because we say, yeah, that's right. That's why I have to live that way in the world. I can't compromise myself in the world, right? Okay, so two rhetorical questions in verse 29b and 30. Really, it's verse 30 is the one I want to concentrate on. If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks. So, now, what argument or what criticism is he countering with that verse? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? In the context, what's he talking about here?
I'm a bit confused by it, but is he talking about if you don't know when you're eating and you give thanks? Or
No, I don't think that's it.
He's saying if you do know and you say, oh, well, I know there's nothing wrong with this meat, so I'm just going to pray and carry on and eat it.
That's right.
And he's saying don't.
Yes. Okay. So I don't want somebody to say, well, he's not a very good Christian. Because, you see, he'll eat that meat just like us. Right? Okay. He'll do that just like us.
Oh, I see.
See?
Okay.
Right, Lee?
So, like, are you saying he's still thanking God for it because it is, and, like, there's no, like,
well,
but he's giving thanks for it, but he knows his conscience.
No, it's the conscience of the other person.
So he's giving thanks all the while knowing that could offend the weaker.
No, that's not. No, it's not the weaker brother.
Oh.
It's the pagan.
Oh.
So that's what's confusing.
Okay. So he's still in the context of the pagan here. So he says, I can eat that meat because it's just meat, and I can thank God for it. Okay. So why am I slandered by the pagan? Concerning, he's saying, well, he's not much of a Christian. He says he worships Jesus, but hey, look, he eats that idol meat. You see? And so that's the issue. There's three reasons that Paul gives us not to partake. One is a weaker brother who has a sensitive conscience could be tempted to sin and get himself back involved in the idol worship. The gospel is so important that we want to keep our testimony clear and we'll give up our rights. Chapter 9. My heart is deceitful and I could myself fall into sin if I am connected to a demonic service. Those are the three reasons. Now, what about these exceptions? Well, there's meat in the marketplace. Look, if you don't absolutely know it's not labeled and you don't absolutely know that it is idol meat, it's just meat. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're in somebody's home and nobody says anything, it's nothing wrong with it. As soon as they identify it as idol meat, that's it. That's the principles that we're being taught. Okay? So, oh, wait a second. I have one more. How are we doing? Let's just go over to the last three verses. This verse, one of my biblical pet peeves, this verse is always taken out of context. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We have a song, I think it's in our hymnal. Do we have this song in our hymnal? There's a song. Oh, it's in the praises. Okay. So we apply this to every situation of life. What is it talking about? It's talking about meat offered to idols. Whether you eat it or you don't eat it, okay, whether, you know, do all the glory of God. It doesn't mean your daily life. It's talking about this specific issue. And it really, you know, I just sort of get all, I've had arguments with people about this online. You know, anyway, go ahead.
Couldn't we consider it though a general principle?
I think, take it from Colossians 3. There's another verse that is similar as the one I would use. Okay, it just bothers me. Okay, but let's finish the reading. Give no offense, the song is great. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. So how does Paul sum up his viewpoint here in these three verses?
Whatever you do is for the purpose of the other person.
And whatever you do is for the purpose of the other person and their evangelism, right? Their salvation. Lee.
He's saying give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Like he's covering all the groups.
Yeah, but he's not saying offense in the sense of don't offend them.
I see, okay.
It's a stumbling block. Don't put a stumbling block in front of them.
Okay.
Rob, were you throwing your hand up?
Well, I was just going to say it does, I
cheated by looking at my Ryrie study Bible here. It says the next verse should really go with this, which is verse, chapter 11, verse 1. Be followers of me, even as I am also a follower of Christ.
That's true. It should, yes.
So I thought that's interesting because it's glorifying Christ. It's to do the right thing.
Yes.
What Christ would do.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you may ask a question. You're allowed to do that.
Your verse 31, is it that you argue with people because they apply it to everything like alcohol? Or
no, they apply it to life in general.
To life in general, yeah.
Like that.
Or that's what I mean, though. It's just they use it as a principle of I can do anything.
No. It's saying that everything in your life should be for the glory of God, which is true. Which is true, right? It's true. But it's not what that verse is talking about. Anyway.
I have a general question. So for us, we shouldn't partake in halal meat because it's been blessed by them.
Well, that's a question because if I don't know for certain if it has been sacrificed to an idol or not. I know that they have certain procedures. Does anybody know about that?
I don't know all the details, but it is blessed by some.
Yeah, so that's a matter where it's a conscience, I think. Now, it's a... Like, I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I think we've had that question before, and I sort of remember looking it up, but.
Like, I don't eat it because of that, but I don't know that I would necessarily be offended by someone else who chooses
yeah.
to eat it.
Yeah. It's not quite as clear because Islam is not, although they do have, it is a false god they're following. Allah is not the same as Jehovah. I'm not certain. I don't know. Atola.
If you are to preach Christ, you are to lift up Christ.
Yes.
Then you should not be the friend to the enemy of the cross.
Right.
The Muslims are the enemy of the cross.
Absolutely, yes.
They don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
The people, and when God does not have the Son,
yes.
He cannot have any child, he doesn't marry.
Yeah.
It's not married to any woman. So they are the enemy of the cross. They don't
yes.
believe.
Yes.
So I don't think whatever they are doing to their God, their sacrifice, they should be impacted.
Right, right. Okay. So I do need to research that one again. I have looked it up before, and Tola is right. The Muslims are the enemy of the cross. They slander Jesus. They slander God. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to partake. We don't want to participate with them. But if there's a question in your mind about it, then you shouldn't partake. Okay? So, now, I put on the last part of the sheet, modern applications. So there are issues in our society that are not exact parallels. I do have a few things I wrote down in my notes that could be examples, and the issues are not exactly the same. So it's Christians have debated. I'll use one, and then maybe you can think of some others. Christians have debated, of course, whether or not it's right for Christians to drink alcohol. Now, I personally think it is unwise, and therefore it is my policy to preach against it. All right? So I don't consume alcohol. I never have, actually. Okay? But Christians have debated that point. So I'm not talking about that particular point in light of these chapters. Follow what I'm saying? I think there are principles you can take from these chapters that can apply to alcohol. But here's a scenario that I have been in, where somebody at Christmas time has offered me a chocolate. And I'm, okay, you know, and then they say to me, oh, by the way, that has liqueur in it. What should I do?
Abstain.
Exactly. Because they have it's their conscience. This has nothing to do whether or not it's right to drink alcohol or not. Their conscience thinks that I, as a Christian, should be aware of this. And, oh, didn't realize that, so no thanks. That's the right response.
So not spitting it out on their carpet.
Well, yeah, not spitting it out on their carpet. Maybe, oh, you got a napkin somewhere? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, how dare you? You know. Yeah, anyway, no. But yeah, but that is a parallel in terms of this scenario here at the end of chapter 10. So any other things that you might want to bring up that could possibly be areas where we could apply this, Rob?
I think that's a great example because we've probably all been in restaurants where a dessert or something that uses some sort of alcohol, but where it hasn't been burned off.
So right.
I'm not really worried if it's been burned off, you know. But if it's like covered in some liqueur or something,
yeah.
I'll look at the menu and say, oh no, that's not for me. But yeah, I'm quite against alcohol.
So. Yeah, that's right. If somebody, you're eating with an unbeliever and they say, hey, it's one of those desserts where the alcohol is cooked right into it and the alcohol's all gone. It's just flavoring now. Okay? And they say, hey, you know that was made with whatever. What are you supposed to do then?
Abstain.
Yeah. Like we used to get a Christmas cake, in our home every Christmas from the Wawanesa Insurance Company because my dad was a Wawanesa insurance agent. It was a lovely Christmas cake, tasted great, the best I've ever had. It's cooked in rum. Okay? Now my mother would never do that herself. Now, it's just a cake. But if somebody came in our house and said, hey, this tastes like rum. Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. I don't know if that ever happened.
I don't think it was, actually.
That's what it said. That's what the label said. Best Christmas cake I ever had. All right, rum.
It's weird, though, too, with the alcohol thing. Like, some food, like, it is cooked out. I don't think they're allowed to serve.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, even in the manufacturing of some processed food, alcohol.
Oh, I know. Well, you could get very fine-tuned on this, right? You can go be a label reader and say, aha, there's an evil thing there. That's not the point.
Right.
Okay, it's the conscience that's the point. It's not the substance. It's the conscience, right? Cal?
So you're saying it's not about the idol, it's about the conscience.
In this last scenario, where where somebody identifies you, this is connected with something I think a Christian shouldn't do.
So the pagan is telling you, as a Christian, what?
Yeah, well, he's telling you, I think that this is something Christians don't do. And so if I do it, then I'm saying to him that my beliefs don't mean that much. So that's the principle that he's teaching. Debbie?
Yeah, I think in applying this principle of meat offered to idols, our culture, we need to just think, as we have on this small issue, what are the things that the world thinks Christians don't and shouldn't do?
Yeah.
And anything on that list ought to be something that we're very careful about.
That's right. That's right. So so when we think about this whole issue, chapter 8, going to the idol's temple, eating the meat there, there are places we should not go, even though, you know, say it's a restaurant and has great food, but it's connected with something, and we should say, And so, some of these restaurants downtown, for example. Like a nightclub, for example. I don't know what kind of menu I've never been to one that I know of. Let's say they had a great, there's a great place for fish and chips. All you can eat. Just fish and chips. It's a nightclub. They got all the dancing and the boozing and everything else going on. Should I go there? No. Okay. So that issue, like the whole issue that he's dealing with is, no, you can't go to the idol, to the place where the evil stuff is happening. You can't associate yourself with that. Can't go to the nightclub. Can't go into the bar. Really shouldn't. Okay? Now, that's not, the issue there is not, is alcohol right or wrong? Or is, you know, the food that's eaten there right or wrong? That's not the issue. It's that you cannot go to the place that's connected with evil. All right. Now, when it comes to these exceptional areas, well, what about if it's just generic, it's sold in the marketplace, you know, it's probably this or that. Or what about once somebody identifies something as, you know, I think this is something Christians don't do, so why are you doing it? Oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't even realize, or, okay, I'll leave it. Okay, so that's what the teaching is. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll pray and we'll stop. Father, we do thank you for your blessing in helping us work through these passages. I pray that you would enlighten our hearts and minds, and as we are faced with questions in our life, that we would have a testimony in the world that truly we are Christians and that people can see Christ in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.